Raising women's voices, one story at a time. Welcome to the She Said Project Podcast. That's what she said. A popular joke, thanks to the TV show The Office, but also the name of an amazing event of women sharing stories produced by the She Said Project. You are listening to the She Said Project podcast, where we love to visit with the women who have shared those stories and raise each other up one more time. So I'm Jeanette Jerzyk. I'm your host today. And with me in the studio,
I'm Carrie Rosso, co-founder, co-host, co-shenaniganator.
Co-shenaniganator. We love the shenanigans here in the She Said Land. Who's on the lineup today, Carrie?
Well, I got to say, I kind of defer and bow down to her because she actually is the queen shenaniganator.
Yeah, that is true.
Oh my gosh. Talk about being a number one fan. I am this girl's number one fan. So I just want to follow her around, like stand behind her and snapping my fingers and just, yeah, that's right. I'm with her.
You're like her backup singer?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when we started casting the 2022 show in Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, you had one name. You're like, I don't care. This woman must be in the show. But you have a personal connection with her. She's a coach in our community. She works with your kiddos.
It's a tangled web, especially given the content of her piece. So my daughters have her for a soccer coach, and that is near and dear to me because they have this woman, this amazing woman in their life who not only makes them feel, I was going to say 6 foot tall, but wait a minute, they are 6 foot tall, makes them feel 6'5", and she's like 4'5", and she is like 4 foot five of awesome. And she makes my girls feel amazing, and she's somebody that my girls can look up to and that I'm happy about. Like, I'm so happy my girls have her in their life. And I secretly look up to her, down to her, but up to her. Sorry, I can't stop. I love the short jokes with her. But then the other great part is, in my day job, I get to see what an amazing person her mom is. And so when she talked about her mom, and then every day I get to be there and see this awesome woman in her own right, but the awesome person that raised Najla Vega, it's a pretty sweet gig.
You are right. And she's sitting right here. Like completely.
Sorry, I can't help it. I can't help it. Just like, I love you. That's why I follow around saying that all the time.
Najla Vega Zamora, thanks for joining us in the She Said podcast studio.
Thank you for having me.
So you said yes to Carrie, not me, it's Carrie.
Technically, I said no to Carrie. And then it was a few more. No, it's not an option. You're going to do it until it became a yes.
It's true. I wore her down.
You wore her down.
Yeah, pretty much. Did you ever tell her how it started?
Well, I wanted her to speak with her lovely wife. I wanted them to be our duet. And her lovely but oh so shy wife said, yeah, I don't think so. But I was like, yeah, you're not rid of me yet. You're still in. You're still in. And then she eventually was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying yes.
Yeah.
And even more so, you know, you got this experience, but oh my God, your words, Najla, your story, your words, the impact that your story had on our audience that night. I got choked up every single time. And, you know, I know you put on a tough show, but you got a little choked up too.
Yeah, it was a little bit different saying it in front of my parents. Yeah, that was a different kind of moment. I think that was the part that choked me up every time. But yeah, it was different with knowing that my parents were there and hearing it and then seeing other people celebrate that huge and very delayed accomplishment for them. So it was cool to see that for them because they rarely get to get celebrated as they should. You know, they're just workhorses and all the time and all the time. So it was cool, even though it was how many ever 800, 900 strangers to be, you know, applauding because they get to finally become citizens. So that was a really cool piece for me. There's not a lot of ways in which I can say thank you to them. To me, that was really special.
Well, let's share the amazing words that you shared that night with our audience today. So Najla appeared on stage and that's what she said, 2022 in our flagship show of Champaign-Urbana, and her story called Leave It Better Than You Found It gets me every time. Let's go ahead and listen to the performance from that night.
I'd like you guys to think about something that you can buy or you may already even have that's worth $36 or costs $36. I'll give you a second to think about it. You got it? All right, keep that in your head. I'm going to tell you some of mine. A hand blender, a quick dinner for my wife and me, or maybe even a durable phone case. Now, if all you had were $36, how far could you make it? Could you bet your future on it? What if it wasn't just you? What if it was two people? Or three? Or four? My family came to this country from Costa Rica 23 years ago. And with them, my parents brought hopes and dreams, and two very young kids, and $36. Not 360, not 3,600, but just 36. And as a kid, I never thought or had to think about it ever. I never knew the times that my parents would eat less or not eat at all so my brother and I could. How little money they made for how much and how hard they worked. Or how my dad needed to sleep during the day because he worked overnights. He'd sacrifice time with us, for us. Let alone doing all of this as undocumented immigrants. I watched my parents continuously check boxes. The ones that were already there placed for them. The ones that fit the bill for every kind of stereotype. The boxes that statistically told them that their kids wouldn't graduate high school or that they would likely live in poverty for the rest of their lives. The box that read, you will be undocumented for as long as you're in this country. And as my parents had boxes checked for them, they decided to check a few of their own. Almost in like poker, I call all your check boxes that you decided were for me, and I raise you to all the ones of which you think we aren't capable. They carried all those heavy responsibilities that parents carry, and then some. And they did and continue to do everything with the hardest and the most honest work I have ever seen. Here are a few of the things that I learned from them. The hustle never stops. We didn't come to this country to give up. Always do your best and your most honest work. When you do something for someone, you never do it wanting something in return. And you always leave anything better than you found it. And... I think they're over here somewhere. And leaving it better than they found it, and really anything, is exactly what they did. From only $36 in their pocket to now owning a beautiful home in the country, traveling back to Costa Rica for the first time in almost 20 years. And after 23 years of working in this country, paying taxes in this country, raising children in this country, checking all of the boxes that fed the stereotype that we were illegals, or criminals, or freeloaders. By the end of this year, they will become United States citizens. Again, I think they're over here somewhere, so if you want to harass them later, you're more than welcome to. That's right, Bernie, wherever she is. Now, this is what I know as a 29-year-old who still has to write stuff on her hand to really remember it. And who tried to steam her shirt while wearing it and got burnt. You can see the scars over here. Yeah, they look like permanent hickeys now. It's not nice. Meanwhile, my parents were just a few years older than I am now. They had two kids and they were making magic out of $36. But as I got older, I started to learn that there were boxes already there for me. And they always seemed to have a say in the things that I wanted to do for myself. These goals and these dreams that I started to have when I was young. Like when I found out I wanted to teach Spanish and how I fell in love with that out of all things. But also when I found out I would not pass a basic background check for an education class. When I had soccer scholarships to four-year universities after finishing my 2 years. But also when I couldn't accept any of those because of my documentation. When I got into one of my dream schools here in my backyard, U of I, only to find out they wanted to charge me international tuition, even though I had lived here since I was a kid. See, all these boxes had already been checked for me before I even got to prove myself. It didn't matter what I wanted to be, the sacrifice for my family, the hard work, or that I wanted to give back to my community. And I get it, resiliency and tenacity and this, but I'm tired. It's tiring knowing that I have more hoops to jump through for the same thing than the average person. It's tiring noting that voting isn't an option for me, locally, statewide, or nationwide. Even though it directly affects my community and me. It's tiring knowing that I have to be careful in other states where you can be detained for looking undocumented, or if you don't have all your paperwork on you. I came to have peace in knowing that all these boxes are always going to be checked for me. I can't make them go away. But here's what I decided to check for myself. Not only for me, but for those whose shoulders I stand on, and for those who will hopefully stand on mine one day. I am the first person in my immediate family to graduate from a four-year college. Following in the footsteps of my brother, I earned an athletic scholarship at Parkland College. You guys are going to clap after everyone. I fulfilled my dream of working and teaching at the very school I attended. I work daily with students who look like me and speak the same language as me, who face a lot of the very same obstacles I faced. I had the privilege and honor of marrying the most wholesome and astonishing woman I have ever met. I'm not done. And we get to live in that joy with pride and honor. And at the end of the day, we all have these boxes that are placed upon us. And sometimes it feels like those are the only things that we see or the only things that we are. But like the ones before me who paved the way, you make your own boxes. And you make them so damn big that the other ones don't faze you. Because it is our duty that by checking those boxes, we pave the way for the ones who will be here long after us. And you must always, always leave it better than you found it. I leave you with a Mexican proverb that says, "Trataron de enterrarnos, pero no sabían que éramos semillas." They tried to bury us, but they did not know we were seeds.
That is one powerful 6 minutes. Okay,
that's what she said.
Shoot.
Sorry, you can't tee me up like that, Jersey.
That was so not the plan. Mashna, thank you for thank you for sharing your beautiful story. And it was beautiful and meaningful and powerful. And, you know, you're like, my parents, they're over there somewhere, but still.
Oh, I was completely off, by the way.
Oh,
I was like, oh, yeah, they're over there. And they were entirely
not
the opposing
close.
Side. No,
oh,
not even.
Okay. But you know where you were? You were in the spotlight.
Yes.
With a microphone in your hand.
Yeah.
And were you nervous?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm always told that I have never met a stranger because I could probably talk to a door if you let me for long enough. So at first I felt a little bit nervous, and then it kind of went away and I just kind of.
You owned it.
Yeah.
You owned it.
Yeah.
You brought the life lessons from your parents. You brought the life lessons that you have created for yourself and that you get to pass on to your students.
Yeah.
You get to influence these young ladies.
It's interesting because I'm always surprised that I'm the caregiver, the role model in some of these instances. You know, like I got to drive these girls to the game and I'm like, oh, I'm in charge. It's me. Like, I can't be like, hey, it's her. Because I am like a big kid most times. So it's cool to see, but it's really neat to teach them to have uncomfortable conversations, especially as women. You're going to have them a lot. And so it's really fun for me to be able to kind of teach them that and, you know, let them know that they're going to have to do it, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in whatever it is, school setting, anything, they're going to have to find a way to speak up. So it's cool. You know, I'm their everything. Whatever it is, hold their jewelry, wipe mud off cleats, whatever it may be, stretch
on.
Yeah, everything. Unlicensed therapist. You know, I get the tears. I get the anger. But I'm also their biggest cheerleader. If you ever see me coaching, you can hear me from any point in the field. Doesn't matter where you are. Parking lot, doesn't matter where you are. You can hear me. So coaching is always fun. I'm very competitive. Sometimes for me, I get pretty mad, and they can tell I'm mad because I'm very competitive. And I'm like, I don't know what you guys got to think about, whatever it is. But yeah, so it's fun. Some girls are naturally like that, and some just need a little push. Teaching is hard. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it a lot, but it is equally as hard. Many times throughout my day, I think of stuff that teachers told me or adults told me during that time. And I was like, whatever. And then, you know, you never tell them 5, 6, how many ever years later, you're like, dang, you were right. So a lot of teaching, how do I say this? You don't see the rewards. Those are rewards, you know, it's almost like plant that little seed and then 5, 6, 7 something years later, you hope that it made some kind of effect. So it's really a job where you hope you're doing the right thing. Sometimes you don't get told if you do the right thing. It just shows up in small ways, or you have 4 crappy days and 1 good day and you're like, oh, this is why I do what I do. And it keeps you going for however long.
I feel like you sincerely try to be the teacher and the coach to these girls that you wish you had.
Well, not wish I had. I had really, really amazing teachers and coaches as well. So to me, it was my turn to try to give these students or these kids the wonderful experience that I had. You know, it was teachers for me that were able to help me with my application to college, with my this, with my that. Because it was a lot harder for my parents. They had never gone to college. They didn't know the process. I think my mom still gets confused as to what a master's is every once in a while, which with Bernie, it's right on par.
I love
that. But I know, I do too. I had really amazing teachers. That's where I fell in love with teaching. Where I figure I'm like, yeah, this is what I want to do. These teachers who I thought had nothing in common with me, didn't look like me. Most of them didn't speak the same language, but always kept me going, always kept me motivated, and always told me the things I needed to hear and sometimes the things I didn't want to hear. So to me, it was only right that I give my students that same chance, and especially working with the populations I do now and, you know, being undocumented and dealing with all that stuff. For me, it's really important that hopefully they can see themselves reflected in that. And if I was able to do it, even though it took forever, that they can do it as well.
I learned so much from you about what you went through, the hoops you had to jump through just to get an education.
Yeah.
In the country that you grew up in your entire life. Mm-hmm. Like we always say, that's what she said, the stories we share, the experience is like a mirror or a window. And this was my window into your experience where I got to learn something completely outside of myself and have a new appreciation for it and have an opportunity to say, what can I do or how can I help?
Yeah. It's ironic, actually. I knew I wanted to be a Spanish teacher before even graduating high school. I had an outstanding Spanish teacher who was also my mentor, so it was really cool because I got to, you know, I've been teaching for a little bit with a temporary license, but because of everything, once that license expires, you got to do it again. So all that stuff, you know, then one school around here had an accelerated program, so I was teaching one subject, but also student teaching a different subject. After 12 years, because that was like the one thing I held on to. I'm like, I don't care how many no's I get. I don't care if by the time I get it, I don't want to teach Spanish anymore. It's the one thing I want to do. It was like full circle with me because I got to do my student teaching with my mentor, the person who helped me fall in love with teaching Spanish in that same classroom. And as of, I think, last week, I finally got my full certification in Spanish. You know, it was a 12-year pain in the butt cycle, but it ended up really nicely, and I think I would do that program all over again, even though it was a pain, just to be able to do that with her, because that was one of my bucket lists. I mean, I think it's very rare when people get to actively work side by side with the same person who helped them fall in love with the thing that they do, you know? So like, to me, that was really special, as I think it was for her as well. And that's something that no matter what, you know, I got to do it. So,
Nashla, I am covered in chills and goosebumps.
I'm just over here snapping. I'm telling you.
Back up on her.
Yep. Yep. Just give that girl a microphone.
We gotcha. You go.
It's true.
We gotcha.
Well,
you
and go. The thing is that hearing her talk about your mentors and the people, that's what you are. As you're describing your mentor, but that's what you are to these girls. When my girl came home from college and we went to the first soccer game to watch, she practically climbed the fence trying to get to
Nashla. Yeah, we were trying to.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, there's a gate. We could just go around. But it was like she had to get to Nashla so quickly. And I loved that connection had carried over. It's that the after they're gone. That's where it counts, yeah. Is after they're gone, are they trying to climb a fence to get to you? And they are. It's pretty sweet. We are lucky.
Yeah, I mean, they're my babies, even though they tower over me. And you could have given me a little bit more inches. I'm a solid 5'1" and 3/4".
And 3/4".
And 3/4", Carrie. That's right. Uh-huh. Yeah, but there's so many pictures, especially more with Carrie's oldest, where you just see, like, her hovering over, and you can't really see, or you see my neck cranked all the way up.
The Rosses are a tall crew. That is for sure.
But you see, so. Nashla, like her words, even when I can't hear her, you know, she's shaking their shoulders and looking up, and she's, you know, she's getting after it. And whether she's bawling them out or making them feel inspired or whatever it is, I know it's good stuff. And I'm not just, I'm grateful for me personally, but I'm also grateful when I see her doing it to all the girls. I can't even imagine the impact that you've already had on so many girls that will then impact our community because of you.
Appreciate that.
I appreciate that.
This is a serious love fest going on.
I'm telling you.
But I love it because it's hearing your story coming full circle and then you going out and impacting the next generation and the next generation of these girls. I mean, that is what we do. We raise women's voices. We have a teen empowerment program. It is all about creating that safe space and creating that encouragement.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, all I'm hearing is encouragement, encouragement, encouragement. I'd love to know, how are your parents doing on their citizenship journey?
Should be almost there. Immigration, for whatever reason, is pretty backed up.
For whatever reason.
For whatever reason, it's backed up. Never when they need money, but for everything else, it's pretty backed up. So even my second application for residency it said processing time is 16 to 32 months.
Wow.
But in, what are we in, April? In 8 months, I'll be able to apply for citizenship. So it's good, but it's also a waste of money because it's expensive every time you apply. And by the time my green card gets processed, I will have already applied for citizenship. So really, it's just a waste of money, I guess. But you need to do it because otherwise you're not. I mean, it's as quickly as if it expires and you don't apply, like that next day, you can't go to work. You can't do. And I mean, they're on you. Like they, you know, as every good HR or just HR should be, right? Like, hey, your thing is setting to expire. Or even with my license only gets, it's not for, how many years do they normally give you a license for? What is it? Five?
I think 10, it's five.
Something like that. Yeah. Mine only goes till the last day of my green card. So if my green card says it's expiring December 16th, 2022, even if it's now, my license will only go until then. So it's pretty serious stuff. It is ironic, though, after it expires, they send you, hey, it might take us a while to process this. Here's this piece of paper, and this piece of paper with your expired green card is the only thing to keep it valid. So even, like, I took a trip, and I had to take this piece of paper. That's the only thing that's letting me travel, work, and do everything. Yeah, so, I mean, I have probably 50,000 copies. I haven't even at school. I'm ready. I went on my trip and gave one to my friends. Each one, I'm like, here you go.
You get one.
Give them this. Yes, but my parents are doing well. They work hard, per usual. My mom works for a great family who also happened to go over, you know, at Carrie's school, and they just recently had another baby. So it's a hoot. You know, the kids she nannies, they call me tia, which is aunt. That's all they know me by, so it's really funny. Because they are not these brown skin, brown hair, brown eyed kids. They are Irish. So they are blonde and blue eyed.
And to see them, how much they love her.
My gosh.
They see her at the end of the hallway and running and the love fest is mutual.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Seeing her send them off with big smooches every day, I just imagine that's how you're going to be. But I asked your mom after the show.
Did you?
Yeah. And, you know, what her feedback was. And she said, you never know. You go through parenting and you make all these decisions and you work so hard and you hope that you're doing the right thing and you hope that your kiddos know it.
Yeah.
And she said, and so now we know it was the right thing. And I was like, man, I can't believe there would ever be a doubt after everything that I know about your family. But she's just amazing. Yeah.
It's hard to see it that way. Like I've come to realize, you know, later as I've gotten out of college and done more adult things that it's harder for me to celebrate my quote-unquote accomplishments because they are so tied to my struggle. And the more I realize that, I feel like it's the same for my parents. You know, I'm like thinking of all the things generationally that they have done in order to set us up. And they're just like, well, you got to do what you got to do. It's nothing like extravagant. This is what we were handed and this is what you have to make of it. So it's hard to celebrate that, you know, because so much of it is entangled within the struggles you had to go through. So it's like, cool, it's, you know, I made it out of the mud, but shouldn't have started in the mud. Every once in a while it'd be nice to just start on the sidewalk. So, you know, little by little, I don't think I'll ever be satisfied with, but I'll chip away at that. And, you know, Still, I don't see myself as a role model. I still have my mentors and my people who I look up to. I'll still go and hug them like I'm still a 15-year-old. Yeah, you know, every once in a while you get somebody who says something to you that stays with you, or a text from one of your former soccer players saying, hey, I can't wait to see you. Or just whenever they pile on you, or they do whatever, or they take your food, or, you know, the little things that, like...
Sorry, okay, that was me.
No, like, the little things that you do when you appreciate somebody without saying you appreciate it. I try to keep that in mind, but...
It's true. I could just give her a microphone and just sit back and listen.
No.
Yeah. Right. Working with Najla on her story for the show was so fun. And each time we chipped away at it a little bit and uncovered the moments that we were going to share, like it fell into place and it was just beautiful and just right. It was just right. And I love the quote that you ended with. I've told you that like every time you've read the story. I'm like, oh my God, I love that.
Finish stronger.
It's so good. You know, it's such an homage to your history and your experience. And yet just this powerful moment to leave people with, to think about. They did not know we were scenes.
Take it home, Najla.
Well, I take it home. I take it everywhere. It's tattooed on me, so it's fun.
Read it.
Read it? It's only the
Read
second
your
part.
Arm.
It's only the second part. No, it says,
say the whole thing for us.
The
whole thing. The whole thing.
Okay. It says, trataron de enterrarnos, pero no sabían que éramos semillas. And so I tied my little seed route all the way to Costa Rica because I also have a map. That's how I like to express stuff. But yeah, it was, you know, I had it when I taught fifth grade. It was on my little banner. That's what I put up for my students, because to, like, you know, like I said in my speech or talk or whatever you want to call it,
story,
it's a responsibility for me. It's not just for me. Like, I think I've told you before, like, you were like, oh, do you have a chip on your shoulder? I'm like, hell yeah, I got a chip on my shoulder. I got like 50 and each one needs covered. So yeah, you know, like it is that hard-headed that I need to do it because it's not just for me.
Yeah.
And it was cool. We just had Honors Day at our high school. So that's where seniors get recognized. You know, we had I think it was like the Spanish Excellence Award or something. I think for the first time in a while, they had two Latinas who also, you know, it felt like very much so the feelings that I had before. So now to see it, and then to be able for me to go up to them and be like, hey, you know, this is cool. I'm proud of you. Like this, you know, this is the same kind of stuff I felt. That was really neat for me because I didn't have that. I had a lot of teachers who were there and I had a lot of teachers who supported me, but I never had a lot of teachers or really any who went through the same things or were dealing with the same things that I had to. So that was really cool. You know, they got thanked by a bunch of people, but for me, it was really special to be able to tell them in person, like, yeah, you can do it. It's attainable. It sucks. It's hard, but, you know, you can get there eventually.
What was your wife's reaction? She was in the audience instead of being on the stage with you.
Yeah.
I'm dying to know what she thought of you that night.
She was very proud of me. She is, you know, I think of how big of a cheerleader I am for the girls, but she is by far my biggest cheerleader. You know, she...
Wait, what?
Besides Carrie Rosso... They hold it.
Wait, what?
You've been replaced.
Okay, I'm second.
They hold it together. She also tells me a lot of the things that I sometimes am not ready to hear, or in terms of how people may see me or see that, you know, the things that I've done or accomplished or whatever you want to say it. She was very proud of me, and it was cool because she, you know, she told me she was proud of me not only as my spouse but just as a person. So that was, and I admire her a lot. So to me, that was... It was special to hear that. It was cool. It was cool. I enjoy listening to her a lot. She puts up with me all the time and listens to my rants and everything I do.
Y'all are the cutest couple ever. Najla will be going. And to see her just like listening and smiling and nodding while you're talking about whatever passionate thing, it's very sweet.
I apologize to her all the time. I was like, sorry, I just needed to get it out of my head. And she's like, no, it's okay. It's okay.
She just beams. It's really great to watch.
She's cool.
I know this is a cheesy way to end this, but I keep thinking, you know, here on the podcast, our goal is to share these stories with a broader audience. Mm-hmm. More women, more girls get to hear these experiences and realize that there's someone that they can learn from or that they can feel, you know, connected to. You know, if there were other girls out there listening right now, what would you tell them?
Oh, gosh. What would I tell them? I'll tell them it's hard. I'll tell them it is impossible to do it alone. There were many a times where I was like, I'm done. And I was done. I tapped out. I'm like, because it was roadblock after roadblock or list after list after list. And I was like, all right, you want me to be out? I'm out. I'm done. I'll go do something else. I'm done. Because after a while, it just feels like a broken record every single time. You know, it's what disaster is this one thing going to bring to you this year? Like, what are you going to try to ruin for me? You almost don't even want to make plans or goals because you're like, well, got to have 5 plans for this. It is hard, but you got to find the people who will have your back and the people who will support you. One time a friend told me I was very upset about something not happening or something. And she said, you know what? Sometimes you have to stop what you want to do and do what you have to do in order to get to what you want to do. So sometimes you got to do the stuff that you don't want to do in order to be able to do that very thing that you want to. So I would tell them that, and I would tell them to pick one thing and hold on to that thing. And it'll carry over, but I think you got to find the little things in life. You know, I played with a balloon for 30 to 45 minutes the other day, just because it was fun. I was just bouncing. I think I was almost dizzy. I was going in circles, you know, but then later that day I was watching a documentary about some kind of injustice about something. So I always try to keep it happy, but I also very much so understand that there's a responsibility, you know, especially for me, especially for Latina women, especially for Latinos in general, what high school, graduating from high school looks like, graduating from college looks like. You know, it's 2022 and we have these trailblazers, you know, for women's suffrage and this and this and this, but it's 2022 and we're still having people do things for the first time. You know, there's nothing wrong with being the first, but you shouldn't be the only either. You know, like doing something for the first time is cool, but we're way too late in the game to be the first one doing this. You know, the first doing that and doing this. So, and sometimes you have to play that role because sometimes it's bigger than you and there's going to be a time where you don't have to be the first because somebody else did it for you. Other times you just got to be the first, and that's something you got to carry. And hopefully it may not be, you know, it may be in your lifetime. It may not be in your lifetime. You may never see it. But somebody will at some point.
And the things that you have done, you have certainly opened doors for the next and the next.
Wow, so. I hope so. Or at least less doors closing.
Right. You pushed. You pushed really hard.
She's kicking them. I'm telling you. She's kicking them. She's soccer kicking those doors open.
Keep it real with them because it's not, you know, it's not all sweet. It's not all flowers. You know, it may never be directly towards you, but there's going to be entities, people, governments, whatever it may be, that are going to say that everything you are is the opposing thing. And those are just things that carry with you, especially when, you know, you look the way you do. And that's just how it is. You got to learn to take it. And, the best way to prove them wrong is to do it. And you do it, you shut them up, they can't say anything. So
the best way to prove them wrong is to do it.
You got to do it. That's why I want every single letter behind my name, because then you can't tell me anything.
Can't tell me nothing.
I just want to send one of those, no, doctor, just reply, doctor, please don't put miss, put doctor. just one.
You're going all the way, aren't
you? So I can get, oh yeah, I want every single letter behind my name. Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
There's just so many quotable quotes that just came out of all of this. I can't wait to go and dissect them all. That's such a great place to wrap this up. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much, Nashla, for your story, for saying yes, for being on the stage, and now for just enlightening us and all the women out there who, you know, who get to hear your story and realize that they can too.
Yeah.
They can too. Right?
Amen and amen. I'm still snapping. What?
And on that note, all right, sing us out, Carrie.
Oh, you don't want me to sing.
Thank you for listening to us here on the She Said Project podcast. Where's my backup singer?
No, I'm just like a straight over and out. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening to the She Said Project podcast in partnership with Illinois Public Media. All materials contained in the podcast are the exclusive property of The She Said Project and That's What She Said LLC. For more information on our live shows, go to shesaidproject.com. This podcast was made possible with support from Carl and Health Alliance and presented by Sterling Wealth Management, empowering women to live their best lives. over and out.
Over and out.